Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, and verse number 27. Sita, Sita, Tapatra, Vyajaner, Upaskritaha. Prasuna varser abhivarsita pati pisanga vasa vanamalaya babo gano yatarka dupa kapa vadyutai Translation. As the Lord passed along the public road of Dwarka, his head was protected from the sunshine by a white umbrella. White feathered fans moved in semicircles, and showers of flowers fell upon the road. His yellow garments and garlands of flowers made it appear as if a dark cloud was surrounded simultaneously by sun, moon, lightning, and rainbows. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we can see what an elaborate, grandiose experience it is to receive Krishna in Dwarka. Verse after verse is more and more amazing, describing all the elaborate arrangements made to receive the Lord properly. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The sun, moon, rainbow, and lightning do not appear in the sky simultaneously. When there is sun, the moonlight becomes insignificant. And if there are clouds and rainbow, there is no manifestation of lightning. The Lord's bodily hue is, validates the fact that this arrival of Krishna in Dwarka is an exceptional event, that nothing is parallel to it. The Lord's bodily hue is just like a new monsoon cloud. He is compared herein to the cloud. The white umbrella over his head is compared to the sun. The movement of the bunch hair fan of flukes is compared to the moon. The showers of flowers are compared to the stars. His yellow garments are compared to the rainbow. So all these activities of the firmament, being impossible simultaneous factors, cannot be adjusted by comparison. The adjustment is possible only when we think of the inconceivable potency of the Lord. The Lord is all-powerful, and in His presence, anything impossible can be made possible by His inconceivable energy. But the situation created at the time of His passing on the roads of Dwarka was beautiful and could not be compared to anything besides the description of natural phenomena. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Well, it's a fact that if a person doesn't accept that Krishna has unparalleled, unimaginable potencies, they remain an atheist. If someone says, "Oh, I don't believe that," that means they're an atheist. So, what is an atheist? A person has no knowledge of God, therefore they deny the existence of God. So, it's not difficult to keep denying something, but it is difficult to understand something. That is, let's say, inconceivable. normally, when people see something or hear something inconceivable, even though they see it, they don't accept it. They think that there's some mundane explanation for it. However, in the case of the devotees, they never cease to be amazed by the inconceivable potencies of the Lord. They don't deny them like the atheists. They say, well, that can't be true because I can't emulate that. That is nonsense argument. Or that can't be true, it has to be fantasy. And that's another nonsense argument. What the frog in the well says can't be true doesn't mean it's a fact. It's because of the limitation of the frog in the well. And because of the limitation of mundane living entities, what limits a mundane living entity? Let's discuss that. It's sex. It completely stops any possibility of understanding God. And Prabhupada says in one of his letters that sex is the reason why we have come to the material world. We didn't come to gamble. We didn't come to smoke marijuana. We didn't come to eat meat. He came to have sex, independent of the Lord. And the more sex people have, the more they get limited in their ability to understand anything transcendental. That's why there are four varnas. Three of them, there's no sex. There's only sex in married life, and that's for a period of 25 years maximum. And it's only for procreation of children. It's not for any other reason. So we see that in the Vedic culture, sex is limited and used only as a necessity for procreation. Whereas in modern society today, sex is unlimited and used for sense gratification, which means that people cannot understand anything about God because of that. It's not because of their diet. It's not because they live in New York, the city where, you know, people are, one person is living on top of another person, you know, in crowded situation. It's not because of their economic situation. It's not because of any congenital disease they might have. It's because of illicit sex. And this is what people don't understand. The one thing that they think is their own domain and should never be limited is the actual thing why they are limited and why they are prisoners. Sex is considered the shackles that bind one to the cycle of birth and death. Shackles are like iron chains that tie a person up and it's impossible to get out of. So here we see the inimitable activity of the Lord and his loving devotees. This is one thing that differentiates Krishna from all other living entities and even all other emanations of him. It's the existence of devotees that show incredible, unbelievable love for him. That is the special, one of the four special qualities of Krishna that the other expansions of Krishna do not, let's say, have. They have devotees, like Narayana has devotees that express wonderful love for him. But the expression of love of the residents of Vrindavan and residents of Dwarka is unparalleled. And it's unimaginable how detailed and to what extent they go to please the Lord. Because they please the Lord with intimacy. Pleasing the Lord with rituals and formality and awe and reverence is wonderful. But it does not compare to serving the Lord with intimacy. The intimacy, like for example, Mother Sachi. When Lord Chaitanya had left Bengal and hardly ever didn't come back, actually, she would chant rounds, and when she would finish one round, she would set aside one grain of rice, and she would only eat that many grains of rice as many rounds that she chanted. So if she chanted 100 rounds, she would just eat 100 grains of rice. If she chanted 50 rounds, she would only eat 50 grains of rice. You can't parallel that. And that's in the material world. Imagine what degree of dedication and love there is in the spiritual world. So it's unparalleled. We don't understand it. When we're reading these words, you know, if they just remain words, we don't really, taste them. But if you begin to actually taste the meaning of these words, you are pummeled out of the material world right into the spiritual world. Because these are experiences that you do not have in the material world. Like, for example, it appeared as if a dark cloud were surrounded simultaneously by sun, moon, lightning, and rainbows. Well, first of all, those things do not usually simultaneously manifest. When there is a full moon during daylight, even though you see it, it's sort of masked by the brilliance of the sun. But if you have sun, moon, lightning, and rainbows only occur after the rain. They have these all simultaneous. It's just an unbelievable experience. And then it says, the Lord is all-powerful, and in his presence, anything impossible can be made possible by his inconceivable energies. There's a word for this. It's called aja in Sanskrit. It means that he can defy nature by his inconceivable energies. And there are many examples of that in his pastimes. Just like Vamanadeva. He's a midget, but he can stretch his leg past the universe. Now, nobody can even imagine doing such a thing. And on top of everything, he's a midget. So this is the incredible energy and potencies of the Lord. They're inconceivable to human beings. Therefore, human beings say, "Oh, that's just fables and stories. It's not possible to happen." Well, yes, it is possible, and it's happening all the time. It's not a rare occasion. So then Prabhupada says, but the situation created at the time of his passing on the roads of Dwarka was beautiful and could not be compared to anything besides the description of natural phenomena. Well, when you describe natural phenomena, again, it's grandiose, it's amazing, it is pleasing, it's pleasant in every way. When you see a sunset or a sunrise, there's nothing greater than to, Surya Namaskar. Surya Namaskar is not just a yogic exercise. It's much deeper than that. You are welcoming the dawn of the day, the appearance of the sun. It's like the sun is the eye of Krishna, so it's a wonderful experience to do that. Especially if you're on a living in a place with a lot of mountains, and when you see the sun come up, it's like unbelievable. See, we're on about 1,000 feet of height here, but if you're up higher, to see the sun come up, it's almost right next to you, right? And it's like just an amazing experience. and to see a sunset, also another amazing experience of lights and colors and nuances. It's just amazing. So we need to, and these experiences lift us out of our very limited time-space module. And all of a sudden we see there's an expansive world out there. And then we're able to understand a little bit the glory and immense magnitude of Krishna's energies and his powers, etc. Otherwise, if we're always in our limited time-space module, you know, in rooms that are like, you know, 100 square feet, or office that is, you know, 60 square feet, or a car that's only 1 or 2 cubic feet, right? So they're very limited spaces, or in a kitchen. So we're living in those types of rooms all the time and spaces. So to imagine the expansiveness of Krishna's inconceivable potencies is very hard, because our time-space module is very limited. Okay, so these are a few points about this purport. Are there any questions? All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.